Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on June 11th, 2013 at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 9 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme perception. This week's story comes to us from Chris Torma and is titled Mr. Barton. Thank you for listening.
So when I was 20 years old, I had just left Montana for the first time and had my first job outside of Montana working in a country club in Palm Springs, California. I also had a job working for one of the members of the country club as his driver. This guy was about 78 years old, and I'd drive he and his wife to some function across town at night because he couldn't drive at night, and hang out in the car for an hour or so while they did what they did, drive them home, and he'd pay me $100. And after having this job for a couple of months, my boss at the country club who got me that gig, the driving gig, came up to me and said, "Hey, Mr. Barton wants you to drive him to Phoenix. He goes to Phoenix every year to go to this car show. He's a big car nut. And he wants you to drive him out there. It'll be an overnight thing. You'll drive him out there. He'll put you up at a hotel. He'll pay for all your food, even take you to the car show, and so on and so forth." And he said, "No, and he'll pay you $500 to do it." And I thought, "Well, it's not so bad. I've, you know, been driving the guy for a while, and seems like an all right guy." So, on the day that we're supposed to go to this car show, I grab my overnight bag and I hoof it over to his place, and we hop in his Mercedes SL500 convertible, and we hit the highway. And along the trip, along the way, he says, "You know, tell me about yourself. I want to get to know the guy who's been driving me and my wife around for the past few weeks." And so, you know, I told him a little bit about my background, my growing up in Missoula, what it's like to live in Montana, so on and so forth, the fact that I had done theater all my life, the fact that I like to sing, so on and so forth. He told me a little bit about being the son of a wealthy tycoon industrialist in the harbor area of coastal Oregon, and being a wealthy industrialist himself and involved in the community. And, you know, after a while, I thought, this is kind of a new experience for me. I was making friends with someone 4 times my age, and that was something that had never really happened to me, you know, in my life. And so, you know, we're heading to Phoenix. We're just hitting it off. And, you know, he's telling me, stop calling me Mr. Barton. Please call me Graham. Now, my boss had told me when he got me this gig, he said, don't call him by his first name. Call him Mr. Barton. Well, against my boss's better judgment, I said, okay, I'll call you Graham. And from then on, I did. So we got to Phoenix. We went to the car show. And he was all excited about the car show. I'm not really I don't know shit about cars, but it was fun to watch people get excited, paying $200,000 for some old car, whatever. That's neither here nor there. So we left the car show, and went and checked into the hotel, got our bags into the hotel, and we then went out to dinner, sitting around at dinner, talking some more. Who are you? Tell me about yourself, all that. What'd you think of the car show? And he said, you know what? I want to hear you sing. You said you like to sing. He said, I want to hear you sing. And asked one of the waiters, he said, so where's a place we can go? Where's a karaoke place around here? And they told us about one. So we went out and we had a couple of drinks, and I got up and sang some Otis Redding, because that's what I do. And he was truly impressed. He said, you have a fantastic voice. He said, I really like your voice. And he said, As we got back to the hotel, and he said, "Let's sit out on the balcony here, and I want to talk with you about your career." He said, "I know a few people. I know Merv Griffin." He said, "I know the president of ABC." He said, "I feel like, you know, if you're really serious about this, I could help you, and, you know, maybe introduce you to a few people." And I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. You know, I was just some kid from Montana who, you know, grew up doing theater in Missoula. But it was kind of neat, and he was really flattering, and really seemed like a pal. And this whole while, he had brought a bottle of peppermint schnapps, and so we're sipping on peppermint schnapps this whole time, and it's getting kind of late, and I'm getting kind of drunk, and I finally said, you know, I think I need to go to bed, and I got ready for bed, and I crawled into my bed, and as I was, he said, you know, I want to show you something, and the wanker knows what's happening. He said, I want to show you something. And he goes to his bag, and he opens up his bag, and he pulls out this device. And it's long, it's cylindrical. It's got an electric cord coming out the back end of it. And it's got this thing, it kind of looks like the Stratosphere Hotel in Vegas. If you hold it on end, it's got the little disc on top. And I just said, well, okay, what's that? And he said, well, it's a massage wand. And he said, would you like a massage? And I said, well, no. And then the damnedest thing that I, for some reason, I still can't figure out why, I said, but would you? And he turned white as a sheet. And he was mortified when I asked him that. For some reason, he said, no, forget about it. He took it and he put it back in his bag, the bottom of his bag, zipped it up, got in bed, turned off the light, and went to bed. I woke up in the middle of the night and went to the bathroom and unloaded, because schnapps. And I came out of the bathroom to see him standing there again, looking exactly the same, just mortified. And he said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I feel a lot better now. I just need to go back to bed. And so I went back to bed and got up the next morning. Felt fine, because I was 20 years old and I could do that. Went and decided to go work out, and when I got back to the hotel room after my workout, he was packing up his bags, and he said, how was your workout? And I said, it wasn't bad, it was pretty good. He said, so, well, let's see what you did. Come on, take off your shirt. And, you know, I just kind of, I looked at him, and I was like, nah, whatever, dude. And went and took a shower, and it was kind of weird, but I didn't really think too much of it, you know, he's an old man. I'm not going to judge his life. And so we get in the car. We're headed back to Palm Springs from Phoenix. I don't know. It's like a five-hour drive, something like that. About halfway, we're having a conversation. He just out of the blue looks over at me and says, Chris, have you ever thought you were gay? And now I'm a thoughtful person, so when people ask me what I think, I tend to think about it. And I did. And I said, what? You know, I never really have thought about it, but now that I do, no, I don't think I am. And he said, oh, okay. And the rest of the trip home was, you know, just more small talk, not really nothing much at all. So we got back, drove back to his place. He paid me $500. I went back to my bungalow, and about that time it was dinner, so I went over to the ranch club and the employee dining room. Grabbed myself a bite to eat and sat down at a table with some of my coworkers, and began to eat. And I noticed it was really quiet. I mean, these people usually like to talk and gossip and all kinds of things, but I mean, it was just stone quiet. And they're all looking right at me. And somebody says, "How was your trip to Phoenix with Mr. Barton?" So it was fine. What'd you do? And I told, you know, I told him we went to the car show, we had dinner, and did karaoke. They said, did you stay at a hotel? Yeah. You stay in the same room? Yeah. Same bed? No. And, you know, this kind of went on for a little while, and I realized I was getting the third degree from my friends, And I said, what the hell is going on? Why are you doing this? And so finally, a woman leans over to me, and she had been there, you know, a number of years, and she said, Chris, Grant Barton is gay. Every year, he hires some young, good-looking man to drive him around, and nobody really knows what happens. But he's always with him. And I started to think about my experiences working with Mr. Barton, Graham, and I was overwhelmed with embarrassment. I mean, it was like nearly traumatic embarrassment. And I picked up my food and I threw it away. And I walked back to the bungalows, got back to the courtyard. I got to hurry up. Got back to the courtyard and saw another guy there who was an ex-Marine. He was one of my coworkers, real semper fi, do or die, rough, tough kind of guy. And he could tell I was distraught, and he said, what's going on? And I told him what had just happened in the cafeteria. He said, no, don't worry about it. Those women, they're just jealous because he only hires men. And I said, no, I actually think they might be right. Told him a little bit about what happened. And long story short, the next day I told my boss, I'm not going to drive for Mr. Barbie again. We're done with that. They actually ended up hiring the ex-Marine guy, which I thought was kind of funny. But you know, in thinking about that story and remembering that story, I really carried a great deal of resentment toward him for a long time, for being, I felt manipulated. And I you know, honestly, really carried a lot of resentment toward him for quite a while. But you know, a lot time and distance have helped me detach from those feelings. And you know, at this point, I've discovered that I feel some compassion for the man. And when I think of him, I think, you know, it must have been difficult for him. And I don't know, the 50s, being who he was within his community in conflict with who he was within himself, with his own desires. And, you know, it kind of leaves me thinking and wondering, and maybe if he had been around today, would he have had a better go of it? Would it have been easier for him to just be himself, to be honest with everyone who knew about who he really was? And maybe so, maybe not. I don't know. That's my story. Just barely over 10, right?
For your support of live storytelling and local art. Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. More at montanabookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. factandfictionbooks.com. The Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, and performance art. More at tophatlounge.com. Jonathan Marquise is an artist and human in Missoula, Montana. Learn more about him and his art at subjecttogravity.com. That's subject the number 2, gravity.com. Matt LaRubio, screen printing and graphic design. More at ranchhanddesign.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. Rockin'Rudy's.com. Bija Body, fair trade organic beauty tea blends. Scientifically advanced, holistically intelligent, anti-aging body care products. More at bijabody.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for October 10th here at the Top Hat. The theme is currently undecided. If you would like to tell a story in the fall quarter, please call 203-4683 to pitch your story idea. Thank you for listening.